While the NCAA tackles issues of money and academics, the National Hockey League would just like to get back on the ice. It's been exactly 2 weeks since the NHL season was canceled in a labor dispute, a lockout. Yesterday, team owners heard a lucrative proposal from two Boston firms that might just offer a solution, $3.5 billion for the entire league. Joining us now to talk about this bid is David Naylor, a sports writer for the Toronto Globe and Mail, and he's with us by phone from his home office in Ottawa. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, my pleasure.
So what was the offer to the NHL yesterday?
Well, it was to basically turn the NHL from 30 competing businesses into one single business entity with what you might see is almost like retail outlets, 30 different outlets where the revenues would all be pooled. So you would have basically two sides to the business. You would have a competitive sports side where the two sides would remain competitors, but they would become true partners on the business side. And that is that every dime of revenue that comes in would be shared among the teams, and there would no longer be sort of a competitiveness on things such as player salaries, coaching salaries, scouting budgets. The league would set those budgets, and all 30 teams would operate by them. So you'd take out, I guess, a lot of the inefficiencies economically that are inherent in a system where you have teams competing against each other. And hopefully, at least in the idea of the way this is set out, not disturb the competitive balance of what goes on out on the ice.
So the budget for the New York Rangers and the Vancouver Canucks would be the same?
Would be the same, exactly, which is somewhat what the league is aiming towards with its salary cap, although that would be, setting a salary cap at $45 or $42 million is just a number. If teams don't have the revenue to reach that number, all you've really done is brought down the top salaries for the highest teams. Presumably, in this model, the teams would actually have the revenue so that they would all actually spend the same. I think, despite what Gary Bettman said 2 weeks ago, that a salary cap acts as a magnet and all teams would be spending up to the cap, I think the suspicion is that if there was a cap in the National Hockey League as it exists now, you would have some teams like the Rangers spending $42, $45 million, whatever the cap is, but you would have teams like Nashville and Florida perhaps down in the 20s.
Now, in order for this deal to go through, there's a large number of issues that would have to be worked out, including issues that would still exist with the union.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and I think probably if you talk to 1,000 lawyers, you could get 1,000 different opinions on how the issue with the union. The first, I think, biggest issue is you have to get all 30 teams that are willing to sell their franchise. I think there are certainly some people at that board of governors table who are looking in the mirrors these days and wondering what they're doing in the business of hockey and whether this is something they really want to be part of. And those owners probably would be very happy to look at a deal like this. The owners in places like Toronto and Philadelphia and Denver and places where hockey was doing quite well before this lockout would probably be considerably more hesitant to do that. On the labor side, yeah, it does raise an interesting issue, and the people behind this plan don't really want to talk about that so much publicly right now because they see it as potentially interference since the league is in the midst of a collective bargaining process with its union. But they have said this, that basically while a salary cap is a contentious issue, any business has the right to set a budget. And just the same way if you think of the individual 30 teams that in the NHL operate right now, there is no salary cap. But any of those teams has the right to say, here is what we are going to spend on players. This is our budget. This is the number we're going to put in ink in our books. Well, if the NHL was a single business entity, theoretically, it could come up with a budget. Not a salary cap necessarily, but a number that it would budget based on that each of its branches should spend on players. Now, where that, as I say, that would be one interpretation of it. You could probably get a few more, and where the actual, the line would be drawn between what's a salary cap and what's a budget, it does certainly change the dynamic because, of course, you're no longer implementing a salary cap on 30 different businesses. You would be one business deciding on a budget line item, which, in at least theory, businesses have a right to do.
Now, I suspect that some NHL owners were happy to hear that anybody thought they were running a business that's worth $3.5 billion. But is this a decent price? I mean, is that approximate value for the league?
Well, I think it's seen as a fair value. I'll tell you what's very, very difficult right now is to put valuation on the National Hockey League. I think there's a sense that, when hockey comes back, the Toronto Maple Leafs will be worth about what they were before this lockout. That is, you might consider a bounce-back market where people are hardcore The Leafs sell out every game at outrageous ticket prices. They do tremendous television numbers, and hockey is not going away in Toronto. Same may be true in a place like Montreal. Same may be true in a place like Detroit. When you start to get into some of the newer markets, that's where this question is, how much damage has been done to the game? Can you resurrect this game in Atlanta or Nashville or Carolina or even Tampa Bay that won the last Stanley Cup? Has the momentum been sabotaged? So trying to put a value on this business right now is a real, really difficult thing, which is one of the reasons why whatever deal the owners try to come up with for the players going forward on the collective bargaining process, they're going to want a linkage between revenues and salaries, because even if they get a cap, they really have no idea what the business of hockey is right now. The NHL is in uncharted territory. So is $100 million a franchise, roughly what these guys put in before the league, a fair deal? Well, if you're talking about the Florida Panthers, I think it's a great deal. If you're talking about the Philadelphia Flyers, it's probably not so good a deal. They have a formula they worked out where I believe they offered to pay the league a lump sum and let the league figure out how to divide it up. They also had a formula where they would try to put a value on each team relative to the others. But it's the question of what the National Hockey League is worth right now is it's a very debatable matter.
Well, at least they're talking about it.
Well, yeah, it is an interesting concept, and I'll tell you the one thing it does is, you know, the sort of untold story of this lockout, I think, is the reason none of these solutions that have come up work is because you've got these massive disparities between high-revenue teams like the Rangers and about 10 teams that bring in very low revenues. And until there is a desire or willingness to share revenues, nothing short of breaking the union's back is going to work. One thing this model would do, of course, is get around that problem, because you would no longer have the issues of between rich and poor markets, which is really the centerpiece of the National Hockey League's economic troubles, despite what they might say.
David Naylor, thanks very much.
Hey, my pleasure.
David Naylor, sports writer for the Toronto Globe and Mail, joined us by phone from his home office in Ottawa.